Welcome to Fueling Your Legacy, hosted by Samuel Knickerbocker. Each week, we expose the faulty foundational mindsets of the past and rebuild a new, stronger foundation essential in creating your legacy. We've got a lot of work to do, so let's get started. Welcome back to Fuel Your Legacy, and today we have an incredible guest. I actually met him at a conference, and pretty much as soon as I heard what he did and the journey that he's taken, I knew I wanted to have on my podcast. His name is James Flurmond. He's the owner and coach of Salt Lake Basketball Club, a youth sports organization for 4th to 12th graders competing in competitive basketball leagues and tournaments, both in and out of the state. So that's his passion project, but I'm excited to let him tell you kind of the whole journey. We're going to get into it because it's fascinating and just exactly why we do this podcast. So welcome, James, and go ahead and give us a good introduction of kind of where you're from, what you've done in the past, what you're doing now, and why.
Yeah, Sam, definitely. So first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm honored to be on, and a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts. My parents both come from a small island in the Caribbean called Haiti. Like a lot of parents that migrate over to America, they're looking for opportunity, looking for chances to do better. America is the land of opportunity. So they came over here to do better for themselves and hopefully have a brighter future for their kids. So I grew up in a typical family where we didn't have everything we wanted, but we had everything we needed. So I wouldn't say I had a rough upbringing because I didn't really have a past to compare it to. Everything just kind of was what it was. So my parents really pushed education. They really believed in the value of education. And when I say education, I mean traditional education, go to school, get a degree. And, I was presented, the way it was presented to me, it was kind of like there was only three choices. You're going to go to school, you're going to become a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer, So there wasn't much else from that. So, I did that. I would say a decent student. I wasn't honor roll every term, but, I went to school every day and did what I had to do, finished high school, attended a private college in Providence, Rhode Island, went through that. I went into school for web management, e-commerce. And one of the things I always remember is, senior year of high school, I was looking through the catalog of majors, trying to decide what I was going to do. I had no idea what I wanted to do, but everything was being pushed towards computers. This is the year 2000. So year 2000, everything's computers, computers, computers. So I looked at computer science, computer engineering, all this stuff, and nothing really hit home. But everything was computers. And the motivation that I was given was you got to go to school and you got to find something that's going to make you money. So it wasn't like something from within I was following. I was listening, with my ears to what was coming in instead of listening to what was, what was trying to scream out and come out of me. So I was thinking about money, money, money. And none of the careers, would show you how much you'd get paid after 5 years in this field and 10 years in this field and after 20 years in this field. And none of it seemed really good to me. And this is a kid not coming from a lot of money. And I'm looking at these salaries. I'm like, that's what I'll be making after 20 years. I'm like, that's horrible. That's what was coming from the inside. I was like, that doesn't make much sense. Yeah. Okay. After 20 years of working, I'll be making 70 grand a year. I'm like, geez, I feel like I don't even know how much I should be making, but something inside is telling me I should be making way more than that for working 40 hours a week. But
exactly.
So I went to school. I did studied web management, e-commerce. And when I got out, I finished. I went to different marketing jobs, sales jobs, and sales was my favorite. So I stayed in that area for a long time. I did some banking, I found out I was really good with working with people, talking to people, selling them products instead of actually sitting behind a computer. So I understood computers. I was good with working with people. So I kind of backdoored into the healthcare IT industry. There was a big push on what's called, what was the term? What was the buzzword? It was called, it's not coming to me, but it was healthcare IT. So I went into that, and I was training doctors, nurses, you know, hospital staff on medical software. So it's basically just working with people, showing them how to, you know, save, print, you know, go into file, close, you know, write up notes on a computer, you know, where to document, where doctors can document using a computer, because everything before that was on paper, was paper charting. So now everything's moving on to software. So it's nothing really difficult for me. And, you know, talking to people came easy to me. So I did pretty well there. I did that for a few years. And that went well before I met my wife. And then I decided I didn't want to travel so much. I wanted to be home. So I stopped traveling and I got into a position at the University of Utah into their IT department. So I was there 40 hours a week. I was getting paid less money than I was traveling, and definitely wasn't happy about that. And I didn't feel like the most was coming out of me. You know, I felt like I had so much more to give and to do. You know, I was just kind of like a number there, you know. I was just kind of like another guy there, and I didn't stand out. So I said, I got to do something else. You know, so I was just looking at different things to do. And I volunteered for my stepson's, rec basketball team here. And the parents said, a lot of parents were telling me, you're pretty good with the kids. You know, my son has gotten better, et cetera, et cetera. And I grew up playing basketball in high school. I played very little college basketball my sophomore year before I got injured. I stopped playing after that. So, and I love the game. I understand the game. I often tell people basketball was my first love. So I never thought of it as something I can make money from. Because honestly, basketball is anything with basketball, I'd probably just do for free, you know, because I love it so much. So money's not even thinking about money and basketball, you know, love and money. I never thought they could come together and do something, you know, that was never a thought. So anyway, so the parents said you were pretty good. And I was like, man, I wonder if I get paid for this, you know, because if I get paid for this, then bingo, you know. Mm-hmm. So I went online, looked for a club team that was paying. Youth sports is a huge industry here in America. It's pretty big here in Utah. So I found a club that would pay me to be an assistant coach. So I did that for about almost a year. And after about a year, I said, man, this is easy. I could start my own club. You know, I just got to find a practice facility. Kids are everywhere. Plenty of kids want to play basketball. That's not a problem to find kids. And bingo, there you go. You just register them into different leagues and you coach them. You just teach them the basics and fundamentals of basketball because they're kids, right? They got to learn the fundamentals. I'm not coaching Division One prospects or professional basketball players. I'm teaching kids basics, you know, and they don't know basics, and I know the basics. So it's nothing that I couldn't do. So it's definitely within me, you know. So I decided to venture out and start my own club. I started with one while I was still had my job, and then I had two. When I had two teams, I started doing private lessons. So I started to make pretty good money. Not quite what I was making at my job. and I saw there was an opportunity to make more money, but I would have to take my foot off of first base to get to second. So it's that little scary moment.
You know, I like how you throw a baseball example into a basketball.
Into basketball, right? Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah, I do football. I do sports. I do boxing. I do it all. Yeah. So that was the first one that came to me. The baseball one for basketball. So I said, man, okay. So luckily, you know, I'm married. I have a wife. She has, you know, a great job that she loves. So she was able to really step in there and support us during that gap in time where, okay, we're going to take this jump. We're going to make this leap now. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be easy, but we're pretty sure we can make it. So I took the leap and it worked out great. So currently right now I have four teams that I coach, and I'm doing many, many lessons per week. At my highest point, I was doing 20 lessons per week, one-on-one lessons. And I'm definitely making more than I was making at my job, and I'm working about half the time. So, you know, I'm trying to grow some more, you know, because there's plenty more room for growth. So that's kind of where I am. I don't know if I missed anything, but yeah, that's
pretty much. I love it. I'm gonna recap some things that you said, but maybe either the audience didn't pick up on, or maybe you didn't even pick up on. I don't know. It's, every time you hear somebody tell their story, and it happens to me too. I went on a podcast a few weeks ago, and after the podcast was over, people were messaging me like, "Oh my gosh, this is so amazing." I'm like, this is common knowledge, right? Everybody thinks this way. Not everybody thinks this way. So I want to pull some of those things out. So first thing is going back to your parents. So many people in a certain generation, I would say, believe in traditional education. And they think that traditional education is what means success. And that's just not true in the economy that we live in today. Now, it could have been true in their time, but so many people are thinking that the way it was 20 years ago is the way it is today, and so we should keep doing the same things. And there are certain principles, I would say, that are the same, but those principles have nothing to do with the education style. They have nothing to do with the economy. They have nothing to do with the companies that are successful in that. Like, there's so much that has changed. Yes, there are certain principles that are still there, but on a large part, the application of those principles has shifted dramatically. It's like we're on a completely different planet. Mm-hmm. I use this example occasionally, but I was in Scotland and Ireland, and I got to have a conversation with my grandfather over Skype. He had an iPad and I was on a computer. And at this point, he's like 80, I think he was about 80 years old, going through, had Parkinson's, so he had some memory loss. And I wish I could have snapshotted his face, because it was just like this complete awe and wonder. And then he kind of chuckles to himself as he says, like, how are we doing this? Like, he was just so mind blown that he could have a conversation face to face, much like we're having now through technology, right? Because it just wasn't even a thought. When he was alive, electricity was still being developed. You know, it's just like, that's the type of history that people have. He grew up an orphan or close to it, you know, being passed around in family services. And so for him to come to a position now, he's 80 years old, and being able to see how far somebody's come, that's kind of the drastic change that we're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. And so many people are still stuck in this thought process that they need traditional education, mm-hmm. that they need this credential, they need this degree, and that is just not true anymore. Mm-hmm. And now, with certain industries, like if you're going to be a performing surgery on me, I really hope that you have like some education and that you have some experience, you know? So there's certain things that I think that it still applies to. Okay. I'm not diminishing those, but in large part, for you to follow your dreams, and this is what I think the other just key thing, and the statistics are pretty sad, that most people fall out of this in between when they're about 6 years old and 12 years old, depending on the study you see. But they stop following that voice that's within them. Mm-hmm. Stop following the belief that's in them, and they start surviving. They start just doing, listening to the others, listening to the outside world. I loved how you said that. You weren't listening from within, you were listening from outside. And it's so easy to get stuck in that perspective of, well, what does other people think I should do? I don't know what to do, so what do other people think I should do? And I would say, I think most of the time you do know what you should do, you're just scared to take that leap.
Right.
And that kind of leads us to the next thing, is to take that leap. He volunteered first. Do you have things in your life that you love enough to do for free? I was having this conversation with my wife just yesterday. She's like, well, I'm thinking of what to do. What am I passionate about? What could I share? But I just don't know, like, are there already too many people in the industry? Is there going to be, like, anybody actually going to want to listen to me? How can I get clients? And she's already thinking about it as, how am I going to monetize it? Which isn't a bad thing. I don't want to discourage that necessarily. But I love the energy that comes from somebody who's willing to volunteer, who's willing to do it for free. What in your life are you really willing to do for free? Once you've identified what that is, then think about monetizing it. Then think, how can I make money at this? But are you willing to do it for free? Are you so passionate about it? Is it oozing from you that you love it so much you would do it for free? And then how do you get paid for it? Not how do I get paid for it? Because you're just placing yourself into another job cogwheel where you're doing something you're not passionate about.
Exactly.
And that doesn't help anybody. So I love that. And then along with that, this goes back to the conversation with my wife. And then what you said, you don't have to know everything. You don't have to be a world-renowned psychologist. You don't have to be the best NBA player coach. You don't have to be that. You just have to know more than the person you're leading.
Exactly.
That's it. And there's so many people that discount their services, discount who they are, and discount what they've learned because they think, well, I wouldn't pay for that. I wouldn't pay for the knowledge I'm giving out. It's like, of course you wouldn't, because you already know it. But somebody else who doesn't know it, they're paying for that massive leap in expertise, just like you might pay for the same leap in expertise to get to your next level. They're paying to get to their next level. And it's okay to charge them for it because it adds value. It helps them take it more seriously.
So, I agree 100%. So going back to the traditional education is very general, you know, when I hear that general, that means, okay, now I'm in a crowd. Now I'm in a group. Now I don't stand out. So if you're in a crowd, you're in a group, you don't stand out, you don't deserve to make that much. Right? I mean,
I agree.
You're general. you come a dime a dozen. But if you're if you have specialized knowledge, right? Okay, now we could talk about you earning a little bit more, maybe even working for yourself. But traditional, general, that is not the path to what most would consider, you know, what most would consider that they really want to do. I'm hesitant to use the word success because success is just success. You define success, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
But that to that point, I talked about this on Facebook Live the other day with another mentor of mine, but you don't have to go gain. I mean, sometimes you do, but most of the time you don't have to go gain specialized knowledge. Your knowledge is specialized because you are the only one experiencing your life. You are the only one who sees and understands the world that you do.
Exactly.
And the way you do. So by nature of you being alive and human, you have specialized knowledge. Now, how to share that knowledge is up for discussion and how to best monetize that knowledge. But can you get passionate about sharing your specialized knowledge and to identify what your specialized knowledge is? I love this litmus test. Am I willing to share it for free? Am I passionate, not just willing to, but am I passionate about sharing it because I've seen so much value in what's helped me with? At that point, that's when you know where your heart could go.
Definitely. So I think back and I tell people, like you said earlier, if you know something that someone, you said something to the effect where if you know something that somebody else doesn't know, then, you know, therein lies the opportunity. You know, to monetize it. So at the age of 22, 21, I think back and I say to myself today, I'm 37 today. I think back, I said, man, I could have started what I'm doing now 16 years ago. You know, I don't think the last 16 years and, you know, cause I started playing basketball at 10. So between 10 and 21, you know, I had enough knowledge to start what I'm doing today, start mm-hmm. my passion, you know, but I guess the pieces weren't in play for me to think about that, you know, like it just didn't come to me, mm-hmm. you know, but you know, it came when it did 16 years later. And now I'm running with it. Now I'm capitalizing on it and just living the dream pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So cool. So at what point, I mean, you kind of went over it, but tell me the story of really when that penny dropped and you decided, okay, I'm going to start building my own legacy and stop building somebody else. Like what was happening that day when that penny dropped and you're like, I could do this.
For Salt Lake Basketball Club or yeah. just in general? Because I think that, you know, early in my life after school, I think there was a need to work, to be on my own, do my own thing and not work for somebody else. I was in and out of many, many different jobs, corporate jobs. I did banking for a little bit. I did the healthcare IT. I sold shoes. I sold women's shoes and I was pretty good at it. Uh-huh. You know, I was always good at working with people, talking with people. And then to sell them stuff, that was pretty exciting to me. That was fun. Mm-hmm. And women love shoes anyway, so it wasn't that hard. So, but I always knew that I had to sell. You know, so I had this fire to do more than just, and selling was, you know, on commission. So I had a desire to do more than just get an hourly wage. I always had. But in terms of what I was going to do for myself, I didn't know what was going to be my own thing until I volunteered for the basketball. So at one point, so your question is, at one point did I?
Like, when did the penny drop? What's the story of when that became a reality for you in your mind first, before it was ever created physically? When did it in the mind that transition happen?
In the mind. I don't know if I can nail it down to a particular instance, but it was something that evolved and grew over a period of time, I would say. Because I was sitting there at a job and just thinking, you know, I can do more. I can do more. I can make more. And there's something else inside, but I just didn't know what it was. So when I started, when I got that gig coaching as an assistant coach on the other team, you know, I saw what the other coach was saying to the kids, and he had more of an extensive background than me in basketball. He had he was an assistant coach for some college teams. He had been coaching youth teams for a long time. He had a huge organization, but the information that he had was the same information I had. Mm-hmm. You know, it was pretty much fundamental things. So I said to myself, yeah, he's been through more, but he's doing the same thing I can do. So I'm just as valuable, I think, you know, mm-hmm. if we can do the same thing, shouldn't we get paid the same thing? You know, so like, so now what do I need to do to get paid as much as he's doing? I need to start my own club. Well, I already knew about starting, you know, creating my own LLC. You know, I talk to people and I hear people, oh, can you help me create an LLC? I'm like, that's easy. You can do it yourself, you know? And people, that's a hurdle. Sometimes people can't get over. So like I said, I'm 37. I've been business minded for a long time. So I feel like I'm rambling now. I'm getting off the topic. So it was just something that happened over a period of time where I realized that I can do the same thing he could do. So why not just jump out there and make it happen?
I love that. So when you decided to make that transition, especially from your parents having wanted a successful son, came from not good to better, what were your naysayers like? Like, how did you overcome all the people who said, oh, that's a dumb idea, don't give up your day job, you're never going to be successful? And there's one side of it is other people, and then the other side is, did you have those thoughts yourself ever? And how those feelings of imposter syndrome, maybe I'm not as good as I think I am, and how do you silence all the naysayers in your mind to really be able to be successful and move forward?
I think before, I probably had done some other ventures. I did network marketing, and I did some other jobs that, you know, parents and family members said I probably shouldn't be doing. So I went through that whole experience with naysayers. But with Salt Lake Basketball Club, I didn't tell anybody I was going to do it.
Okay.
I just did it. So that was my way of silencing the naysayers, just not telling them what I was going to do. So the only person that knew what I wanted to do was my wife. And I feel like she was the only person that needed to know. No one else needed to know. So I can't really say there were any naysayers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, no. So, well, sometimes that is the way. And some people think, oh, I have to tell people. Sometimes the way is not to tell people. Sometimes the way is just to start living the life that you want to live. Yep. And then people are going to find out. I mean, there's no way people are not going to find out eventually. But if you are willing to show people rather than tell people, I think where a lot of the naysayers come in is they're worried about you saying you're going to do one thing and they want to protect you. And so they tell you, oh, don't do that, you might fail, right? But if you're already doing it and you're already successful, they can't really come back and be like, oh, you might fail. It's like, I'm already successful. Like, what do you mean I might fail? I'm already making money. I'm already doing it. Like, you can't tell me it doesn't work.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I have, I remember speaking to my mom and my aunt about what I do. And, you know, they kept saying, you don't make any money. You don't make any money. I'm like, no, I do. Okay. I do pretty good. I wasn't bragging, but you know, I have me and my wife, we have four kids in here, you know, four kids in the house. So I support my family, on what I do. It could be better, but, I don't think they understand. First of all, they don't know how much I make, but they just, oh, you don't make any money. You should, what, like, are you really making money doing that? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. You know, bills are getting paid. We're going out. We're enjoying life. You know, we travel, we do things. Things are fine, you know, but so they don't believe that I'm doing well, but I think I'm proving that because I'm going into my fourth year now doing the same thing I told them I was doing 3 years ago.
Yeah. That's awesome. And that's what builds that credibility is the consistency. I bring on new business partners in my organization occasionally, and they're like, man, how do you build credibility? I'm like, dude, you just got to get out there and do it. And there's a ton of people who love you who aren't going to support you initially. That's just part of life, right? Yeah. But once you've been doing it for 5, 6, 7 years, they'll come around and they'll be like, hey, can you help me out?
Yeah.
Maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Were you nice to me?
Yeah. There's people. The doers are going to see it in their mind first, and everybody else has to see it with their eyes before they believe. Mm-hmm. You know, some people believe their vision, and some people believe their vision as, you know, not like not your sight, but the vision you have in your mind that no one else can see. And some people believe in their vision. When I say vision, I mean what they see with their eyes.
Right.
So those people are always going to be behind the eight ball, they're always going to be a little bit late, you know, than the people that saw it in their mind first.
Yeah, I love that. I love that differentiation between vision. That's incredible. So if you were to say over the period of time as you made this jump from corporate America and went into kind of your own business ownership, obviously you tried multiple things in the past, and this is the one that you found was led from your heart. But what would you say is your specific habit, mindset, or behavior that you have found you put into practice most consistently that's helped you create a meaningful legacy so far?
Never giving up. never stop moving towards that calling you have inside, that that inkling, that that voice. You know, I guess there's different ways you can put it, but keep moving towards that voice, that whatever feeling you have inside, keep moving towards it. And if you could, and you know, you gotta know there's going to be some tough days. You know, there's going to be some, the transitions are always tough. They're always hard. And I know that from playing sports. You know, you want to get to the next level, you want to play at the next level, well, you got to work harder. And working harder is not necessarily fun. It's hard work, you know, and it sucks sometimes, but that's the way through it. You know, that's the bridge. You got to go over that bridge, you know, to get to where you want to go. So I understand that tough times will come. But I also know that, what's the saying? Tough times, what is it? Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Mm-hmm. So just be tough. You don't have to be the strongest. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the best. You know, that coach was definitely, you know, his resume was definitely, you know, built more than mine. But I can do the same thing he did, you know, so... Yeah. So why not just go for it? So yeah, I would say not quitting and just keep moving towards that vision, that desire, that inkling, that voice you have inside of you is what you got to do.
That's awesome. I love that. So if you were to kind of share some insight here, what role do you think understanding money, like what role does understanding money, how it works, the importance of it, respecting it, what role does that play in kind of building your legacy?
Understanding money. Well, I've learned that money gives you more options, right? Money's there to, it's insurance, you know, when you need it for that rainy day, you better have it there. And if you can treat money right, more of it will come to you. You know, if you splurge, you know, if you splurge, more of it will slip through your hands as easily as, because it can come fast, but you could also lose it fast. So you have to respect it. When I say respect it, I mean, you just don't spend it on anything. You know, you work hard for it and you save it, you invest it. Just don't play with it willy-nilly, you know. So that's my understanding. So when you say understanding of money, I would say that's what I have, that's the lesson I needed to learn, and I've learned is to respect it.
Yeah, you know? Was it hard? I don't know what your structure was when you were doing medical sales, or shoe sales, or I mean all your sales jobs, but was it hard initially working on commission and learning how to manage your fixed expenses with a fluctuating income? Like, talk about super, that kind of
super hard
that happens. Because I'm an entrepreneur. I'm any entrepreneur who runs their own business. They understand the dance. But how would you describe the dance? And how have you figured out how to make it a consistent structural dance rather than just like a freaking pop culture or whatever shows up happens?
That's a tough one because there's, you know, it's commission, so you don't make the same amount you made last week or last month. So there's good days and there's bad days. So in the beginning, I didn't know that there would be bad days. You know, you thought you just keep rolling and, you know, you get to the point where you know, you could have a bad week or bad month. You realize that, oh, you know, it's a hard lesson and you need to save from those good days. You know, and then, you know, and then when you have a bad month, you know, sometimes the cell phone bill doesn't get paid, or you don't eat out as much, or you don't go out that weekend, or the internet bill doesn't get paid, the lights get cut off. So you have to save for a rainy day. You know, you have to save for, you got to use a little bit for today and save a little bit for tomorrow as well, because we really don't know what's coming tomorrow, what storm may come tomorrow.
Yeah. And that's kind of the risk of being an entrepreneur, I found. But it's also, I mean, I have a client who for a few years, he was making quite a bit more money than I was, but he was on commission. So he'd make about all of his money in like 4 or 5 months period. And then the rest of the year wouldn't make very, I mean, it would be okay, but not near the same amount. And it was new to him. He had just jumped into the commission-based world, where for me, I had been doing commission-based, you eat what you kill type mentality, right? So I've been doing that for a few years at that point. So when we crossed paths, it was interesting. He had about 150% of my income, and yet he was broke every month, and I wasn't, right? And it comes down to, are you able to really structure a living budget, mm-hmm. or living expenses, that this is what you're committed to every month, and then make sure that on the months where you're earning way over that, you're not splurging and spending, as you say, but you're putting that away and saying, look, if there's ever a month that I can't cover my monthly expenses here, then that's when that other account is meant to kind of fill in those gaps. Rather, and then stay on that. So my objective ultimately is to be living on less than 10% of my annual income.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. And so every year I budget down and I say, okay, well, what do I need and how much am I going to make and how do I live on that? So currently, and this is, I'm not going to give any numbers, but currently, our family lives on about 60%, 50 to 60% of our annual income. And that number keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller every year as my income increases, because my lifestyle isn't increasing with my income, just my income's increasing. So that number is going to keep getting smaller and smaller, which is kind of what I want.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So anyways, good thoughts there. Thank you for sharing that. So how can we, let's say we have kids, we're here in Utah, and we have kids who want to be into a competition sports or want to just follow your journey, want to not pick your brain, but add value to you while you share on how you made that jump and maybe have a further conversation. Where's the best place to connect with you?
Best place would be www.saltlakebasketballclub.com. Saltlakebasketballclub.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. And do you have personal pages as well, or is it just your business pages?
Those are my business pages. I do have a personal page on Facebook.
Okay. No, yep. Instagram yet?
I had a personal, I started off personal on Instagram and then I changed it to my business. I'm kind of using it for both now. I am still learning on how to best utilize social media. And since, you know, I've gone to some classes and learned some stuff online, and I think since I'm the main face of Salt Lake Basketball Club, I'm starting to integrate some personal stuff. I put pictures of my daughters and experiences outside of basketball, like at home when we're in the park, when I go eat, if I get some new basketball sneakers or something like that, I put it on there. Different things. I'm starting to integrate myself with Salt Lake Basketball Club. So
yeah, that's good. And if you want more information on, the people listening, go follow him everywhere you can. We're going to have some links here that in the show notes where you can follow him. But, for you, James, I will, if you have questions about that, I've been doing the social media game for a while, so I'd love to add some value there. So this next section is called, Legacy on Rapid Fire. It's one of my favorite sections. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you 5 questions, just looking for a one word to one sentence answer. Okay. So the first question is, what do you believe is holding you back from reaching the next level of your legacy today?
Next level of my legacy. I think the one word is myself. If I had to put it in a sentence, I'd say a lot of things happen when they're going to happen. And when I'm stronger to, when I am prepared to create a better legacy, that will happen.
Awesome.
So myself, yeah.
Awesome. What do you think the hardest thing you've ever accomplished has been?
Hardest thing I ever accomplished. So at one point I used to, and this is going to be a sentence, I used to listen to the voices outside. Trusting and believing what I heard inside was what I should have been doing from the beginning. So it was hard to make that transition. You know, it was something I had to learn on my own.
Okay. But, I love it. What do you think the greatest success to this point has been in your life?
Get into a position where I rely on myself.
Awesome. And what is your greatest success? What do you believe your greatest secret of success is that contributes to you building your legacy?
Never quitting.
Awesome. Never. And then two to three books that you would recommend to the Fuel Your Legacy audience.
Think and Grow Rich, The Four Agreements, and the third one. You know, I'm looking back at my books, and there's a book I read to everybody at my house here on their birthday. It's a Dr. Seuss book.
Okay.
And it's All the Places We'll Go.
That's a great book.
It's short, amazing, but you read it over and over and it's like, wow. It's supposed to be for kids, but it's really for adults.
Yeah, you hope. Because that book is one of the best books that's simple and just clear about what's possible. It's like watching the whole Greatest Showman movie.
Oh yeah.
A little book.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Now I have to make honorable mention has to be Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Okay.
By Robert Kiyosaki, for sure. For sure. That one definitely set me on a different path, opened up my mind. Cool. You know, got me thinking differently as well.
Awesome. So this is my favorite question of the whole podcast. Okay, I saved it for the last. Have you listened to any of my podcasts? Do you know what question I'm gonna ask you?
I have not, no.
Oh, good. This would be great then. Maybe another thinker for you. So we're going to pretend that you've died. You're dead, gone. And we're now sitting watching a table where all of your descendants are sitting, and we're six generations from now. So your great-great-great-great-great-grandkids are sitting around this table, and wow, they're discussing your life. They're discussing your legacy. What do you want them to be saying about your legacy six generations from now?
Wow. Wow, Sam. Six generations. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I'm doing my best to provide what I can for that generation. Six generations, huh? Man, what are they saying is the question?
Yeah, what do you want them to be thinking about you, saying about you, like your legacy? What did you pass on?
Well, they probably won't even know who I am, my name, you know, but I think I want to pass on this never quitting spirit, you know, because I feel like that's in me. And I feel like sometimes I ask, where'd that come from? You know, and this wasn't a one sentence answer, was it?
No.
Okay. So my parents came here and they got jobs, right? Now, my grandparents back in Haiti, poor country in the Caribbean, my grandfather on my dad's side would go into the, you know, outskirts of the city, whatever, and he would get leather from the cows. He'd bring the leather back to the city to make shoes. My mother, my grandmother on my mom's side, she would sell things at markets, you know, in the city, just goods, whatever I guess she can round up and sell, you know? So I feel like there's definitely entrepreneurial spirit in my blood, you know? And I would say there's a spirit there. like, go get it on your own, you know, type of spirit. And I want to keep that going. Now, my parents, so at some point, you know, someone said, you know, just go to America and get a job. You know, there's plenty of jobs, work for somebody. But that's not our, I feel like that's not our legacy, you know? So I'm bringing that back, you know? Yes, this is America, and we're not here to work for somebody else, to make somebody, to create, help someone else build their legacy. Let's create, we can create our own, you know, we can give to the world, you know? So that's what I'd like for them to be saying about me is, I guess that's what I wanted to be saying. I guess, great, 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 great. How many times grandfather, James started that legacy for us here. Here's where we were. Here's where we came from. Here's what James did. And he passed on that spirit and he educated us on, letting us know that we're enough to do on our own, awesome. You know, and let's not wait for someone else to provide for us. Let's go out there and make it happen ourselves.
Yeah, I love that. I think this is why I saved it for the last, but I think that was probably the best 2 minutes of the whole episode, right?
Yeah.
Just like when you just, the reason I ask is I want people who are listening to actually start thinking about it and then living in accordance with what they're saying, right? So what do you want people to be saying about you? And when you start thinking about your life in terms of 6 generations from now, the things that are really important become laser focused in clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything else, your business, the money you make, the clothes you wear, the haircut you have, what toothpaste you use, like all of that doesn't even matter when you're thinking mm-hmm. 6 generations from now. But what matters is what spirit are you passing down?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love that. So thank you so much for sharing that. Hey, if you guys would love to reach out to him, go click the links in the show notes here. Also, if you just want more information or have somebody that you think would be a great fit for the Fuel Your Legacy podcast, please reach out to me. You can always catch me at 385-263-7699. Just go ahead and text me whatever your inputs is. I will almost always ask you who it is that I'm talking to because I like to get to know people, find out where you're from, what you're up to, and how I can add value to your life. But with that being said, thank you so much, James. We are, this is awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And
thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. We'd love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on again. So with that being said, we'll catch you next time on Fuel Your Legacy. Thanks for joining us today. If what you heard resonated with you, please like, comment, and share on social media. Tag me so I can give you a shout out on the next episode. And thanks to all those who have left a review. It helps spread the message of what it really takes to build a legacy that lasts. Catch you next time on Fueling Your Legacy.